Life is filled with many wonderful things.
But it also has many unknowns. Sometimes life has a way of disappointing us.
Sometimes we can't find our way.
And sometimes it's just too much to bear.
Where are the answers?
Who has them?
At Voice for Christ, we know the one who has all the answers. And his name is Jesus.
Jesus.
Join us as we seek the answer.
The answer. Learn more at voiceforchristchurch.com.
Good morning. The Voice for Christ Church family would like to welcome you to this Life Break radio broadcast. You can tune in Saturday mornings at 8 and Sunday mornings at 8:30. We invite you now to listen to A Life Break with Pastor Dr. Dean Lunsford.
I won't say nothing until you get happy about saying hearing it. How many's glad to be here? Amen. Give the Lord a great big praise offering. Glory to God. Say this with me. If the Spirit moves on me, the person next to me needs to be moving too. Amen. Good idea. Amen. All right. We got Judges, the sixth chapter. We're going to look at the last part of this thing. Gideon is a young man that is a member of the least tribe, least family, size, worth, in all of Israel at this time. Israel's under bondage for the last 7 years to seven nations. The prince above all those nations is the prince of Midian. Midian, as you know, is the seed of Abraham by Kertra, I believe is the way it's pronounced. And it's been 200 years since they've had any freedom at all. And the last 7 years have been nothing but hardship and bondage. The Bedouins, the Arabs come in every harvest season. They come into the Valley of Jezreel. And when they come into the Valley of Jezreel, they steal all the crops of the Israelites. They steal children. They take livestock. And when they come in, Israel tries, the tribes of Israel try to plant in the Valley of Jezreel and get as much harvest as they can before these marauders come in and just strip everything down. Well, there's a young man by the name of Gideon, and Gideon is in the bottom of a wine press, and he's threshing a bundle of wheat with a stick, and he's hiding in the bottom of that wine press, and he's hiding there because he doesn't want, they're coming in now, they're beginning to move in now into the Valley of Jezreel, these traveling Bedouins. They're still around today, as a matter of fact. We got to see some of them, I believe. They've had the same lifestyle for thousands of years. And they're coming in, so they're hiding everywhere. They live in the caves. They live in the holes in the mountains when all these nation comes in. They leave their homes that they stay in by inheritance until they get there. And now they're coming in and stealing, and he's hiding. And as he thrashes his wheat with his stick, he's looking over his shoulder to make sure that he's not being seen by any of the enemy, because he needs this for his family. And all of a sudden, he's thrashing wheat. Verse 11, he's thrashing wheat. And then he hears the voice of an unknown traveler. And he turns around and he sees a man sitting against an oak tree. Now that oak tree, it said, belonged to Gideon's father Joash, but actually the whole land at that part belonged to Gideon's father. And there he sits, and he says to Gideon in verse 11, let's go to verse 12, and the angel, the word angel here is the word for a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus. So what he's looking at this very instant, when it's the angel of the Lord, that means it's Jesus in angelic form. But when it says just angel, it's human form. And here's this guy just sitting there, and he doesn't recognize him as being the Lord now. The Lord is with you, you mighty hero. And then in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon Gideon, and he said, go this in thy might. Well, you know, verse 13, he asks, if the Lord is with us, then why is this happening to us? And why can't God take care of us? And why are we going through so many of these problems? And why do we live in holes and rocks? And what is happening to us for the last 7 years? And the Lord looked upon him, verse 14, and said, go in this your might, and thou shalt save Israel. Well, go in this your might. What is this your might? It is go in my strength. Go in this your might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Go in this your might. Means also, I have sent you. Oh, it's always good to be sent by God. And then in verse 15, something happens to Gideon. And he said unto him, oh, my God. Now, look real quick. Look back up here at verse 13. Look at this. And Gideon said unto him, as he's looking at this person, he says, oh, my Lord. Now, the word there, Lord, is a courtesy of sir. He's just saying, like you would say to any person that in courtesy. He says, sir, if the Lord, now the Lord here is Jehovah. He's talking to Jehovah and he doesn't know it. So he's just calling him sir now because he doesn't recognize that this person he's talking to is Jehovah God in human form. Now back down here to verse 15. He said unto him, this unknown traveler, he said, oh my God. He now recognizes who he's talking to. He realizes that this unknown traveler is Jehovah God. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. Woe is me, sorta. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. If you didn't do it before, do it now. One man means you will smite your enemy with one blow. And Gideon says, and he said unto him, he said unto him, if. Now he says if five times. If I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that it's you, God, that's really talking to me. Have you ever said that before? Have you ever stopped and wondered, I wonder if this was really God that said that to me? Well, I have. Was that God? And then before he gets an answer, he said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't answer that. He wants a word from God. He knows who he is now. He wants a word from God. And he says, wait a minute, don't answer that. And he looks at him and says in verse 18, depart, don't go anywhere, please. I pray you, please don't leave until I come unto you and bring forth my present and set it before you. And he said, I will tarry until you come. Now, the Lord really got on to me about something. I was a little bit critical of people that took up offerings and asked for a very special offering. Say, $1,000. And there is something about the thousand. If you've never given $1,000, there's something about that first time there. And I see it more and more and more in television. And I got a little bit critical because I think it, and I know it was over, it is overdone. But this is where the Lord spoke to me. When Gideon said, don't go away, I want to bring you a present. That offering there is used another time. It's the same one that is used when Abraham brought his offering to the three traveling angels. And one of them was the Lord. That offering means an offering that goes beyond the pale. It means an offering that is beyond, just far beyond even a sacrificial. That means an offering that takes more and depend and requires more from him than any offering he's gave. If you think about it, he's hiding in a wine pit, and he's hiding his wheat, which is his bread, his barley bread, I suppose. So he doesn't have much. And then he comes back with this offering. He brings God 22 pounds of bread. And he thought, 22 pounds of this poor man hiding wheat that he might feed bread to his family. He brings that to God. And then he also brings a kid, a whole kid, and he brings it and places it before the Lord, and he brings a pot of broth, and he gives it to the Lord. And the Lord doesn't eat it. The Lord said, put it on a rock. And the Lord receives his offering, and the rock catches on fire. And the fire shoots up to heaven. And the Lord steps into that fire. And he goes up into heaven. Now, that's where the Lord kind of got on me a little bit. Maybe he doesn't get on you like that. Because I've always kind of was, not always kind of, I would be downright critical. But here is a place in Scripture, folks, that a person gave a large offering, a one-time large offering for one reason, not to get double back. He wanted a word from God. Wow. He really wanted a word from God. You getting this? He wasn't asking for 20 grand back. He was asking God, I need to hear from you. Boy, did he need to hear from God. God just called him. He said, you mighty hero, you. And he's feeling like the lowest of the low that's ever been. Doesn't have anything, doesn't. And he just said, well, if I'm going to go and do what you want me to do, I need a word from God. Amen. And this is what he got. This is what he got. After he goes up into the flame. Gideon, verse 22, perceives that he was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "At last, O my Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face." He thought he was going to die. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be with you." Here's his word. Peace be with you. Now, that's not a wish from God. That is a prophetic word from the lips of the Lord himself. Hear it. "My peace I leave with you." That's not a wish for the church. That's a prophetic word from the lips of Jesus himself. He's not hoping you'll have peace. He is saying you will have peace. And he says, "Peace be unto you, Gideon." Verse 23, "Fear not, you shall not die." Glory to God. You're going to battle for me. And he's scared. He's scared. I almost said scared to death. He's not scared to death. He proves the Lord four more times to get going. Not that he lacked faith. Not that he lacks faith. Now, we get a little twisted with this sometime too. Sometimes somebody will say, "Well, I'm trying to believe the Lord." And somebody real strong in faith will run up behind you and say, "Well, you know what? You need faith. You need to start believing God more." I got news for you. It's not always a lack of faith. Sometimes it's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. Now, you didn't get that either, did you? It's not always that somebody doesn't have the faith. It's because the flesh is warring against the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is being covered, not defeated, has covered this weakness in the flesh. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is. Amen. Now, I want you to go over here to about, and I think I'm going to be at verse 36, and I'm going to take you through this quickly now. First thing Gideon's got to do, he's got to tear down the altar of that is on his dad's land. Now, you got to understand something here. Gideon and his family worship Baal. But they just didn't exclusively worship Baal. They also worship Jehovah. They had a mixture of faith, sort of like people have today. And they had a altar to Baal on their land. God told Gideon, said, "I want you to go and I want you to tear down your father's altar to Baal. And I want you to offer up his bullock on the altar of Baal. And I want you to sanctify that altar and I want you to build it right." And then he said, "I want you to offer up a bullock of 7 years, a fatted bullock that had been preserved by the men of the city for a great worship service." Remember, this is 7 years.